Thanks for tuning in to New Life Sermon Series Online. If you're blessed by these messages and are interested in helping spread the Word of God to others, make an investment today. You can give at newlifechurchsf.org. If you have a story or a testimony to share, let us know on our website as well. We hope you have a blessed day and enjoy today's message by Pastor Alex.
Holy Spirit is here, and whenever He is here, everything goes well. Amen. All right, today we're in a series, part two, called Adulting. And the word adulting is popular today. We love making words, and that's the word about, means grow up. I'm doing grown-up things. I am paying my bills, paying my car insurance, paying my rent, being responsible pretty much. That's what this series is about. And spiritually speaking, did you know that God wants us to grow up? He doesn't want us to be babies forever. He doesn't want us to be like this guy, you know, big body, but small mind, or the other way around. We as parents, we want our kids to grow. God wants His children to grow. And did you know that you are a child of God? When you first believe in Jesus, you became a child of God. You became a baby in Christ, and all babies have to grow up. And today, we're going to talk about, last week we talked about serving and how important it is, because adults serve. Okay, that's the one of the signs of immaturity is that we're selfish. Children are selfish, but adults serve. Today, we're going to talk about embracing the process. Embracing the process. When I was 19, 20 years old, I had a band. Any of you ever been in a band or had a band? Okay. I had a band. This was like my second band. Work was hard. 19, I already found out that work is hard. And I wanted to do something that had more meaning to it. Something a little more spiritual, right? Right? Whenever we hit those walls, when unbelievers hit those walls, or unchristian people, or people who are kind of far from God hit those walls, they want to go and I just need a shack on a beach, and all I want to do is surf, and just, you know, these dreams kind of, you know, we have these dreams. Well, as a Christian, I wanted to do something spiritual, and we Christians, we say something like this: well, I want to go dig wells in Africa. Whenever we hit a hard spot when it comes to our work, suddenly we get so spiritual. I want to be a missionary. I just want to go live for Jesus and not worry about this corporate America, corporate world. Well, that's what I was. And my ticket out was going to be my band. I was a decent piano player, played a few other instruments. I was in symphony once or twice. I was in a trumpet player and tuba player, so I had a whole bunch of instrument experience. But I didn't have people to play in my band. I could even write songs a little bit, but I didn't have people to write in my band. So what I would do is I would just ask my friends. I would say, "Hey, do you want to play in a band? Wouldn't that be cool? I would sell them a dream." Right? Would sell them a dream. Imagine we could be this Christian band. And I remember DC Talk and Jars of Clay were the big guys those days. They were famous. And we would listen to them, and we would just be, we're like them. We could be just as good. And here's the 20-year-old mindset. I always go to 20-year-old mindset, not because I don't like 20-year-olds. I love you guys. You are awesome. Your faith is crazy. All right, that's cool. Your faith is crazy. The experience is not there, but faith is there. And faith can move mountains, right? And so we weren't that good. So I got my best friend. His name was Alex, too. And I asked him, "Hey, do you want to play bass? It could be cool. We can all be in a band. We could travel. We can do Jesus things, you know. We can see people saved." Really, we just didn't want to work, and we wanted to be famous. And you know, we were just tired of the work, of our jobs, and so we wanted to be famous. And my brother, my second brother, Andre, not this Andre, the other Andre. Andre is my 2.0 experiment. My brother Andre. And so we would get together, and there was another guy who was a truck driver. He was a little older than us. He was later 20s. And his name was Ben. If he's listening to this, he'll know who I'm talking about. His name is Band. And then there was another guy, one of my good friends. And we got together and put a band together. And the only place we had to rehearse or practice is this old Presbyterian church. And so we had this stage, and it had these steeples and woodwork, wooden seats, you know, and so that's where we would practice. And oftentimes we would get in arguments and fight about, you know, and my brother and my best friend at that time were fighting for a position because both of them were horrible bass players and none of them practiced at home. They came to rehearsal, and that's when they and I would be standing there, C F G C. Why is it so hard for you to remember C F G C? They would drive me crazy. I was immature, they were immature. And one time I remember my brother and my best friend got into a fight right on the stage of a church. So this was about 11:30. We're all stressed out. I'm pulling my hair out. Okay. And they started fist fighting right on the stage. There was a pulpit. There was all these things. And they're just rolling around. True story. And I'm being mature, spiritual guy. I'm like, we got to break them up, right? Come on, don't look at me with that judgmental eyes in church. Who's judging who now? All right? And so they're fighting, and I'm like, hold on. We're Christians, but we're like 19 or 20. But this is fun. Let's see who's going to win. Whoever wins this fight, that's right, Tanner, gets the bass part. The other guy's going to be on bongos. And so I'm thinking about it today, and I'm like, wow, we were really mature. We're just all waiting there and like, hey guys, stop. But really, we want him to fight. Hey guys, we're Christian. You're a church. What are you doing? But really, nobody's jumping in and pulling him apart. The only time we jumped in and pulled him apart when they like tied each other up wrestling and they're just not moving anywhere. So we're like, come on guys, let's break up. Ever been immature? Ever done something so mature that later on, not you, Kyle, no. The later when you look back, you feel embarrassed. I'm sweating already, feeling embarrassed about how immature we were. Amen. And immature people do immature things. And God wants his children to grow up. Guys, how many Christians who've been Christian for a long time, but our behavior in our marriage are so bad? We're so immature when it comes to relationships. We sometimes claim that we love people, but in real life, we can't even love our spouse. You can't even love your wife. You can't even love your husband. Okay? We talk about love, but let somebody of other political party come our way, and we'll tear them up. What we write on comment section of the news stories when we're anonymous, that's who we truly are. And a lot of times, people don't know who we are, but God knows who we are. And so God says, I'm not judging you how you're acting in church on Sunday. I'm judging you how you act at your worst. When you can't stand your wife. You know, you don't hate her, you just can't stand her. You don't hate your husband, you just can't stand him anymore. Ever been there? That's that disenchantment. But that's next series, Reset. That's going to be an awesome series. September 10th, we're starting a family series. We're going to talk reset marriage, sex, relationship, dating, all that stuff. It's going to be awesome. But right? We so many times we act immature. And we need to grow up. And if you're honest with yourself, you got to admit to yourself, God, this message is for me. I need to grow up. Today, I want to give you three decisions that I believe we need to make in order to grow up spiritually. And if you're writing these down, I'm going to give you three of them, and we're going to go back to them one by one. So 3 points today. We need information. We need repetition to grow up. And number three, we need mastery. Okay? In order for you and me to grow up in God, we need to embrace information. 1 Peter 2:2, here's what it says. Like newborn babies, you must crave spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. When you first got saved, you have not yet experienced the fullness of your salvation. The fullness of what God has for you. You just had the beginning. It's like you tasted something. Ever tasted like a cake, but just a bite? And then you're like, I'm going to go buy the whole thing. I remember I tried tiramisu cake, right? And I'm like, somebody just gave me a bite. And I'm like, I'm going back to Olive Garden and getting me like 2 pieces. So good. But like newborn babies, you must crave spiritual milk. And we're going to talk about what is that spiritual milk so that you will grow into full experience of your salvation. Cry out for this nourishment. So here's what step number one, when you become a believer to grow up, you must desire, cry out for, crave spiritual milk. What is spiritual milk? It's the basics. Guys, it's the basics. A lot of times we want to do these great big things, but God says, you got to start with the basics. Let me ask you this. Don't raise your hand. How many of you have never read through the New Testament? Quiet. Right? And so the basics is to at least read once through the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, and Romans, and on and on till Revelation. See, if we want to grow up in God, if we're not going to be spiritual babies, and here's the thing about spiritual babies, they don't have the solid foundation. That's why at New Life, we encourage everybody, especially those who are just new to our church, to go through a spiritual foundation class, or grow class, we call it. Because you cannot build a house out, right, without the foundation. How many of you builders build a house without foundation? That house would settle in and break apart. And a lot of us, we have bits and pieces of Christianity. And a lot of times we get our Bible reading from the news media. And that's just bits and pieces. You're not getting the whole thing. You're just getting the parts they like. And you know, even the devil uses bits and pieces of the Bible. Come on, somebody. Devil uses the Bible against us. So if somebody on TV says, well, that's in the Bible, what about the rest of it? See, a lot of times our culture uses, do not judge. It's in the Bible. But then Bible also says, judge with a righteous judgment. So which one is it? Well, you have to read the context so you can know how to apply that. Is that too much? So you got to know, at least you got to read it once. And so if you haven't read your Bible, your New Testament once, don't read the whole Bible. Read the New Testament at least once. You'll get the whole picture. Actually, some parts will make you mad. You'll be like, I can't believe it's here. I always hated those people who quoted this verse. Come on, somebody. So like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk. Here's to you who just got saved. I have 3 children, and when my 3 children were born, in the beginning they needed a lot of milk and short intervals, right? Every 2 hours they needed to eat, otherwise they would yell. And so if you are a new Christian or new to Christianity, and maybe your parents were Christians, but you don't really know much, you need to eat small doses and a lot. Listen to me. If you start trying to read the whole New Testament, 99% of you will quit on the first chapter of Matthew because it's like genealogy there. So you got to eat a little bit, but a lot many times. Like eat 10 meals a day. Like one verse an hour. Or one verse every 2 hours, right? But you got to fall in love. Here's how we grow in God. We fall in love with His Word. We fall in love with His Word. Like, what is in His Word? Did you know? Pharisees came to Jesus and they said, we want to do big things for God. Ever felt that? Ever said that? I want to do big things for God. I don't want to do that little stuff for God. I want to do big things for God. So they came, Pharisees, they came to Jesus. We want to do the works of God. They saw Him do miracles and they're like, we want to do miracles. And here's His response. John, let's put the scripture, John 6, I believe, 28 and 29 says this. They replied, we want to perform God's works too. What should we do? And they're thinking, casting out demons. Hold on. Oh man, you guys giving it away already. They thinking, we want to walk on water. We want to multiply bread. We want to do all these big things. And here's what Jesus said in verse 29. Jesus told them, this is the only work of God, work God wants from you. Believe in the one who sent. Who you sent. Wow. So, what if I already do believe? Remember what I said earlier? If you have a gold medal already, everything else is not going to compare. Everything, silver is not going to feel as good as a gold medal. Christian, the devil is a liar. And a lot of times he comes and lies to us. And here's what he says. You got to do big things for God. You're not enough. You're not good enough. And God says this. Jesus said, if you already believe in me, this is the most important work of God. You have got the gold medal. Clap somebody. Stop living in condemnation. Stop living in the constant, I'm not good enough, I'm not doing enough. Everything else after this statement that you do is good. But this is the pinnacle. This is the top of it. And if you believe in Jesus, you already have it all. We want to do big works of God, and He says you must believe in the one who sent, meaning Jesus. That's what the Gospels say. Did you know that? That you are already in good standing with God by just believing in His Son. So next time the devil or those pesky, ugly thoughts come to you and say, you need to do more to be a good Christian. You need to give so much money away to be a good Christian. Say, shut up, devil. You're a liar. I already got the gold medal. I believe in Jesus. I already have eternal life. What are you talking about? Yes, I'm going to do good works for God in as much power and grace as He gives me. Some will do more. Some will do less. But guess what? I'm not going to live in fear, condemnation, or stress or anxiety that I'm not doing enough. I'm not doing enough. I am good enough. Because my righteousness is not my own. My right standing with God is not my own. It's through Jesus Christ. Set somebody free today. Did you know that in the Gospels, in that pure milk, there's a verse that Jesus said that Father revealed to them so they may be one, and revealed to them that you love them as much as you love me. So here's the truth. In that New Testament, you'll find out that God loves you as much as He loves Jesus. In that New Testament, you will learn that the blood of Jesus covers all of our sins. In that New Testament, you'll learn what you still need to work on. I love my son. I love my daughter. Daughters, thank you. But they still need to work on some things, right? But you love them even though they need a whole bunch of things to improve yet in their life. But you love them. Same thing with God. He already accepts us, and then he works on us. God accepts you if you believe on his son, and then he changes you. He doesn't change you based on your performance, on my performance. He changes us based on who we are now in him. I love my son. That's why I want him to be better at whatever he does. More discipline, less video games. Hallelujah. Still love him. Amen. So, this applies everywhere in your life. It all starts with information. You want to be debt free, but you won't read a book. You want to be a millionaire. I know you do. Have you ever read a book of how to be a millionaire? I'm a better person than that. Nobody will see me with a book like that. Why not? If God has called you into business, have you read a business book? If God has called you into teaching and whatever, if you want a great marriage, why won't you read? Marriage, oh man, giving away my next series. I still got two sermons in this series. Marriage is like mathematical equation. If you don't know mathematical equations, you'll always be hitting your head. But if somebody can just explain it to you, you'll be like, oh, I got it. Thank you. I got this from here. And that's why you have Christians who love God, who have all this wealth of knowledge available to them. Information is available to them. And you know, God is information. Oh, see, there's no information that God doesn't know, that he can learn. He is fullness of information. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. That's information. What is Word? Word is information. DNA code, that's information. Amen. So whatever you want to do, it all starts with information. A lot of us are like this. I got Jesus. He'll do everything for me. No, you can have Jesus in horrible marriage. You can have Jesus and be a bad employee or employer. You can have Jesus. Amen? Let's keep going. So number one decision you need to make to grow to maturity in anything is get information. In the Proverbs, it says, get wisdom, get knowledge, get understanding. Pay for it, whatever it takes. Get wisdom, get understanding. Want to change your life? Get information. Where are you struggling right now? Get information. Struggling with anger? Start with information. There's a verse of the Bible for it. I struggled with anger in my early... I didn't know the anger I had till I got married. You don't know the demons you have till you get married. Amen? Married people, they all come out. When we were dating, it was all good. And when we got married, I should have never got married. You would never know this person until you got married. The only way you're going to get to know this person truly is when you get married. Because when you get in a fight, what do? You separate for a day or two, and then you're like, I'm sorry. You never really deal with issues. Come on, somebody. You just, I'm sorry, 2 days later. You can't do that in marriage. They're in your face. Full time. The day and night. Give me some time, and especially with texting. Oh my goodness. Texting is like the new devil of marriage problems, because people are just texting and they assume that the other said something negatively. Stop texting during work. Come home and then solve your issues. You'll make it worse. Texting during the day, it's like pouring fire on the problem. Gasoline on the fire. I'm sorry, fire on the problem. It's like pouring gasoline on the fire. Stop, you'll ruin your marriage. I need to know where he is. What is she doing? Is it work? Why didn't you answer me? Huh? Why didn't you answer me? What are you doing? Are you talking to her? You can tell that I've been an employer for a while. I know how this works. Like, person has bad attitude at work. And then I figured out it's them fighting. I'm like, no phones at work. Stop. You're going to lose a job and marriage because you lost your job. Okay, I'm beating people up. I love making fun of people. No, I'm just kidding. Well, sometimes. Sometimes. I love somebody else's problems, don't you? I love somebody else's drama. Like, what's going on? What's going on? Oh, okay. All right, let's keep going. Number two. Second decision you need to make is you got to embrace the repetition. You got to embrace the repetition. No one likes this part. Repetition is often considered as boring and unnecessary thing that we need to do. My children wanted to play soccer, okay? Alex and Abby wanted to play soccer. I love you guys. Pastor's kids, you get talked about a lot. You're not perfect. Yeah, don't treat my kids as they're perfect. They're just like yours. And so they wanted to play soccer, and we play soccer in our backyard, and they wanted to go play on a team. And so when they got to the soccer practice, they had to go through drills. They don't put you to play soccer right away. And after first practice, second, third practice, one of the kids, I'm not going to say who, comes and says, "Dad, I'm done with this stuff. I quit. All they're making me do is run around the cones and back and forth without a ball even. They're making me run around the cones and we're never playing soccer and I want to quit." And I'm like, I'm not going to say who. "That's right. That's what you need to do, is to get better." And so we didn't let him quit. Because when you start something, you have to finish it. In our home anyway. So finally, after like five practices and drills, they put him in to play soccer. And then after playing that game, they're like, "I quit." "Why?" "Nobody passes the ball to me. Everybody takes the ball from me." Yeah, because you didn't do your drills. You didn't take the drills seriously. You didn't take the repetition seriously. So now you're not going to be good in playing the game if you're not good at practicing that game. A lot of times people come to church and they hear my jokes once, and then they hear it twice, and they're like, "I've heard it. I think, Pastor, I've stopped growing. I think I need to go to another church so I can grow." And you think that information is the only thing that's going to make you grow. "I've heard it all before. That's it. I need some new pastor. I need some spiritual. I need more meat. And I want to say, you need repetition. You need me to preach this message 10 times to you in a row before you can get it. You know, the messages that I loved from, let's say, John Piper. One message by John Piper I probably listened to, without lying, 10 to 15 times. Why? Because I loved that so much, I wanted to be me. Now I probably preach a message and I use one of those points from that message without even thinking about it, because that message is not John Piper's message anymore. It is my message. The word has become flesh. Whatever you consume and repeat becomes a part of you. You're like, why am I acting this way? Well, what are you consuming? What you consume, you will be. Repetition. Repetition. Why so many Christians don't grow to maturity? They don't embrace repetition. I know this message is probably not too sexy. I know that. Because it's like about growing, repetition. I want something to give me goosebumps. Something that gives you goosebumps won't change you. It'll just tickle your ears. And that's actually a bad thing in a Bible for preachers to tickle people's ears, because growth doesn't happen just with new information. Growth happens with repetition, repetition, repetition. You're a football player, repetition. And you're like, I got this. Coach, I got this. Repetition. Do it again. Run another lap. Repetition. And right now, maybe you're feeling like that. You're feeling, God, I'm ready for something new. I've been going around this mountain so many times. And God says, one more. One more time. Repetition till the word becomes flesh. Till what the information becomes a part of you. And then you don't even have to think about it. You do it. Here, let me just prove it to you. If you worked at one job for a long time and it becomes so a part of you, you can read newspaper and do your work. I used to do business, and I got so good at it that I would listen to books. I could listen to a whole book in a day. You know Audible? The most amazing thing they created. From Jesus. I mean, it's like amazing. I've read almost every major biography there is in the world by that. I usually, before that, I would start a book and then I would look at the end. That was me. But now I can read, and I retain information better by listening, you know, to stuff. And so I would be shocked how I would do my job and don't even remember doing it, but I remember every little detail from the book I just listened to. Why? Because what I've been working at has become so a part of me, you don't have to think about. Amen. And that's when you get good, and that's when you get creative, is when you get repetition. During the school year. Man, time is flying, and during the school year, I told to myself, today I'm going to be done like earlier. Jesus. It's for the new people. It's hard for them to sit through my long messages. I know you guys like it, but we're going to school, and we usually kids fight, especially we pick up their friends. And they just argue. So I decided, okay, let's do something. And we started doing Bible studies on the way to school. It takes us about 30 minutes to get to school. Because we live out of town in a country. And kids go to school here. And the traffic and things like that during that hour. And so we listen to a Bible story. Then we talk about it. Right? And before, this last year we listened to it. But the year before, the first time we went through the Bible, I told them stories. I would just look in the Bible, what's the next story? Just kind of catch up and then tell them the story. Well, last year, Abby is like, Dad, I've heard this story before. Can we do something different? Guys, and I'm like, well, if you heard it, tell me. Well, Joseph, he was sold into, thrown in a pit, then sold, and then he became prince of Egypt. I'm like, you missed so many details. Who was the guy who bought him in the market as a slave? Where did he live first? What did he have to do? The dreams, the prophetic dreams, the Pharaoh, the whole thing. I mean, you're missing so much. But I've heard it all before. You've ate steak before too. You ate that cake, cheesecake, strawberry cheesecake before too. That's it, it's over. Why are you eating it again? Can't stop. Same thing with the word. Yes, you've heard it before. After a while, but whenever you read the Bible, whenever you come to listen in a sermon or listen to a podcast or read the book, you got to see what new you can draw. Because really, we all eat the same. Babies and adults eat the same food. Really. It's just in different forms. Adults eat peas too. Just in different form. Adults eat meat and babies eat puree thing. Adults eat cheese and dairy products. Kids drink milk. It's all the same. So how do you grow up physically? Because what is in the natural, so is in the spiritual. You eat. You eat. As a baby, you eat a lot. Then as a teenager, you eat everything. And then when you grow up, you need to stop eating everything. Even though you can afford it, just eat less because it's... Bruce Lee said this, "I fear not the man who has practiced 10,000 kicks once, but I fear a man who has practiced one kick 10,000 times." Let me say that again. "I fear not the man who practiced 10,000 kicks once, but I fear a man who has practiced one kick 10,000 times." Malcolm Gladwell, in his book, said this: "It takes approximately 10,000 hours of practice to become great at something." To be a professional, it takes about 10,000 hours of practice. And here we come to church once a week, 52 times a year. And we're like, we're good. You got to do more work at home. You want to grow up? Why should I grow up? Well, and I'm going to end my message this way. Because God only releases His inheritance on adults. Galatians 4, 1 and 2. Think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his young children, those children are not much better than slaves until they grow up. Although they own it all. Watch this. Even though they actually own everything their father had. All the promises, all the blessings that God has for you are yes and amen. But you won't get nothing out of it until you grow up. You, like I said last week, don't give a baby a razor blade. Because babies take things and they put it in their mouth. And God says, I can't give you that. It will destroy you. So God says, grow up. Grow up. Only adults can produce spiritual fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. God unlocks your destiny to grown-ups. God reveals His mysteries to grown-ups. Only adults can exercise their spiritual authority that they have in Christ Jesus, Ephesians. Only adults can truly love selflessly. Children are selfish. Only adults can be, spiritual adults can be Christ-like, because that's the goal. What does spiritual adult looks like? What is adulting looks like? Jesus. Jesus. That's it. We want to be like Jesus. We want to love like Jesus. We want to serve like Jesus. We want to have this purpose like Jesus. We want to experience this peace like Jesus in the midst of the storm. We want to be like Jesus. I'm here because I want to be like Jesus. And I know you are here because you want to be like Jesus. Imitate God like His dear children. Be like Jesus. You don't know what God looks like except how Jesus looks like. We know how He looks like. I want to be like Jesus. I want to grow up. And the third point is mastery. When you do something long enough, you become good at it. And before you know it, you begin to draw diamonds out of this well of wisdom and knowledge of God. Before you know it, you begin to draw rubies and gold out of this word of God. This can change your life. Everything you need is in here. You can't have it till you can make this a part of you. In the book of Revelation, it says, take this scroll and eat it. That's symbolic, of course. But that's what it means to grow up. You take this and you, spiritually speaking, don't eat your Bible now, because some of your Bibles are on your phones. It's not going to digest well. Eat what's in here and let it be a part of you. God help us. Come on, stand to your feet.